Morning, we're going to continue our study in the book of Luke, and I'm going to be reading from Luke chapter 10, verse 38, and it says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Mary was distracted by all the preparation that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. This morning, we're going to talk about being distracted. Something's not working right. And distracted, I looked up some definitions of it. It means having your attention diverted, rendered incapable of behaving, reacting, etc., in a normal manner, loss of focus. And there are a couple of causes of it. One is that you've allowed yourself to be distracted by what you're doing or extenuating circumstances. And the common thing we've been hearing about lately has been distracted drivers. So I just pulled a few pictures of distracted drivers off the net. But you could be a distracted driver for another reason. And that's an extenuating circumstance. And that is a shot from inside my car of the windshield of my brand new car. And as I was driving along the Queensway on Thursday, something came up and hit my windshield. Now, I was a distracted driver for a second there. I went, and then your initial reaction is, I need to figure out what happened. Well, I could see the dent in my window. But the reality was, quickly, I refocused on what I was doing. But sometimes we are distracted by extenuating circumstances. So in these pictures, these people are choosing to be distracted drivers. You laugh, but I wonder how many times one of us has done something like that when we're driving. Maybe not quite that way. Anyway, so this morning we're going to talk about distraction. So let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning for your word. I thank you for this passage that teaches us about you, about ourselves, about what we need to watch out for and to look out for, how we need not to be distracted, but that we need to keep our focus on you. And I pray as we look at this passage that we will be able to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. And so in this passage, it says, Martha was distracted by all the preparation she had to make. And she goes to the Lord and she says, Lord, don't you care? And so she's distracted. She has doubts about God's love when she's distracted. Christ says to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset. Martha is distracted because she is worried and upset. And the other thing she does when she is distracted is that she complains. She says, tell my sister to help me. She's grumbling and complaining. And you know, I think Martha was exactly where God wanted her to be. I don't think when she was preparing for this meal for Christ, she wasn't out of God's will. I think that's what God had called her to do that day, was to prepare that meal for Christ. Now, you know, it's nice, it says that he and his disciples. Now, I wonder how many people were coming for dinner that night. Could have been even some of the distractions were, instead of just the 12, Christ had a few extra with him. We don't know what the distractions were. But I think that in preparing that meal, Martha was doing what God had called her to do. And so often, when we are doing what God has called us to do, we get distracted. Now, when you're preparing a message, the major distraction is all the interesting little bits and little places you could go with the passage that you're looking at. It's a joke in our house with my husband that when he's going to speak, he has enough material planned in one sermon for a month or 2 months worth of sermons because he prepares really well. But in our preparation, we can often get very distracted and go off on different tangents. And so it is easy to get distracted no matter what you're doing in God's will. And I want to talk to this morning about how we can become aware that we are being distracted from the task that God has placed before it, whatever that task is. And it doesn't matter how important it is or how unimportant it may seem to you. If it is what God's called you to do, we need to keep our focus on God and what he calls us to do. And so we see that Martha doubted. And I bet it was more than that she doubted God's love. She probably doubted whether she was in the right place in the kitchen. Maybe she should have been out sitting at Jesus' feet like her sister. She probably questioned her ability. Can I really manage to get the food on the table for all these people? And she wondered about maybe was it of any value? Was it really... Is preparing food to serve people of any value? Wouldn't it be more valuable if I was out there, I don't know, teaching, doing something else? We often doubt when we get distraction. Doubt becomes the distraction. We often worry. Worry is a really big distraction when you're trying to serve the Lord, especially if anything comes up that puts an obstacle or a roadblock in our path. We start to worry. We worry we won't have enough time to complete whatever it is God has called us to do. We worry about our own shortcomings or the shortcomings of those who are helping us in the task that God has given us. And we worry about imagined complications. Now, I don't have a very good imagination. But I can imagine complications like you can't believe about what could go wrong in what I am doing. And those things, I am sure, were on Martha's mind too. And they become a distraction. Doubts paralyze us. When we have doubts, we tend to freeze. We tend not to go forward. We tend not to... move. And I think that's the consequence of doubts. Of worry, we become anxious. We feel not well. Worry wastes time. If you're concerned that you don't have enough complete time to complete the task, the time you're spending worrying about that could be completing the task. And worry helps us, just totally takes our focus off what we're doing and our ability. And then grumbling and complaining. So we know that Martha doubted because she says to the Lord, "You don't care. Don't you care?" And we know that she was worried because Christ says she was worried. And she was grumbling and complaining. And that's another sign that we are getting distracted. We are grumbling and complaining. She was complaining about her sister. Didn't her sister get it? Here I am in the kitchen getting the food ready, and you're sitting out there at Jesus' feet. Don't you get it? You should be helping me. You're not doing the right thing. You're not doing what's required. I want you to notice in this passage that Martha did not go quietly to Mary and say, "I'm in a bit of a mess. Could you help me?" That's not what she did. She went to Jesus and complained. Now, it is really he is really the best person you should have complained to. So she shouldn't have gone to Mary and complained about that she wasn't helping her. She could have gone to Mary and said, I'm in a mess. Can you help me? Not, Mary, you should be helping me. Why aren't you? That would have been the right. But when we're going to grumble and complain, the best person to do that to, I'm telling you right now, is the Lord. He doesn't really like it, but he's the best person to do that. I don't know if you've ever read through the book of Psalms, but there are some psalms that you wonder why they're in Scripture. David is going on and on and on. He's calling curses down on his enemies, on their children, on everything. But the purpose of that psalm, if you read to the very end, is by the time David gets finished complaining and grumbling, his focus is back on the Lord. He's got the right perspective. He is ready to go forward and serve the Lord and do what he wants. He's got his focus right at the end, because the person he's grumbling and complaining to is God. And when we grumble and complain to the Lord, he gets our focus right. And so Martha is talking to the right person when she's grumbling and complaining. And when we are grumbling and complaining, we grumble and complain about others, our circumstances, and about God. Martha did complain. She said to Jesus, Lord, don't you care? And so I think that when God has called us to serve him, in whatever the task is, whether it's waiting on a table, or whether it is teaching Sunday school, whether it is speaking, whether it is doing a Saturday morning breakfast, as Ted did yesterday, prepared. Whatever it is very easy for us to get distracted. And there might be other things that can lead, that distraction leads to, I'm sure there are. But these are warning signs that we need to catch ourselves up on. When we find ourselves doubting that we're in the right place, it is a good question to go to God and say, am I in the right place? Is what I'm doing what you want me to do? Have I misheard you? I have no problem with that. But when God says you're where you should be and what you're doing, then you need to leave that with God. You don't need to doubt. And you don't need to worry. And you don't need to grumble, as Martha did. And there's a solution to that. There's a solution to being distracted. And that solution is God. He has told us in his word that when he calls you, he will equip you. And if you went to Philippians, I very carefully marked all these things. And now there it is there. I couldn't see the marker for it. In Philippians 2, verse 4, I've got the verse marked. Oh, Philippians 4, verse 13. Okay, that makes sense. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. If God has called you, there is no need to worry. No need to worry about whether you are in the right place. No need to worry about your abilities. No need to worry about whether what you are doing is of value. Because if you are where God has called you, you are in the right place, and you're doing the right things no matter what distractions, no matter what roadblocks, no matter what is happening, no matter what is going on. He is there, and he will bring about to completion his good and perfect will. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, it says, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. God has said, you don't need to doubt and you don't need to worry because I am able to equip you and enable you to do what I have called you to do, whether you can see it right now or not. Corrie ten Boom told a story, and she went to her father, and she said, I just don't know. What if we get taken into captivity? What if the Nazis come and we go to prison? How will I manage? How will I cope? I don't think I can do that. And her father said to her, Corrie, when do I give you the ticket to get on the train? And she said, just as I'm getting on the train. And he said, God's going to give you what you need when you need it at just the right time. He's not going to give it to you before you need it. We often worry and are upset and doubt our abilities. And God says, I will bless you and equip you and enable you to do what I have called you. You don't need to doubt. You don't need to worry. God is in control. We often forget that. I think sometimes we think Satan is in control. And he feeds us all kinds of lies. He says, you can't do this. You aren't able to. He brings up roadblocks. He puts roadblocks. He has rocks hit your windshield unexpectedly. Unexpected things happen. It's bad enough that we create our own ideas of what could happen and go wrong. Satan feeds us more. And we forget that it is God who is in control, not us. Romans 8:28, which is one of my very favorite verses, God says, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purposes. God is the person who is in control. It doesn't matter how many roadblocks Satan attempts to put up in front of you, how many distractions he chooses to put in front of you or beside you or wherever, God is the one who's in control. And then God, he has the solution to whatever the problems are, whatever the roadblocks. God had a solution to get that meal on the table for Martha. I don't know what it was. Scripture doesn't tell it what it was. But he had a solution. Because I think feeding the disciples was probably fairly important, considering the number of times they seem to have missed meals. And the reality is, Christ had fed 5,000. It wasn't an issue about getting that food on the table. God had a solution for that problem. And in Philippians 2, verse 13, it says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And we need to remember that it is God has a solution for whatever problems or roadblocks appear. God's will cannot be blocked. And if we are in God's will and we are doing God's will, then the responsibility is God's, not ours. We often take our eyes off of God. And that's what's happened here in this passage. Mary has kept her eyes on Christ. Now, you might say, well, she was sitting at his feet. It's easy to keep your focus then. But you know what? Martha was doing what God wanted to. She was preparing this meal. And it doesn't matter what we are doing. We have to keep our focus. Now, you're going to say, oh, well, I go to work every day, and I have to focus on my work. Well, I have to focus, too, on my work. But the reality is, when there's a roadblock at work, where's your focus? Is it saying, Lord, this has to get done, and what can I do to get it done? There's a distraction. I do accounting. I used to do an accounting for a group of people who quite often made very complex mistakes that I had to then figure out. And the reality was, if I stopped and said, okay, Lord, this is a mess. How do I figure it out? And I got my focus right. I would often get up and leave. And actually, when I wouldn't do that, it would often be Les saying, could you come and help me do something? And the temptation would be to say, I'm in something really complex right now. But the reality was when I went to help Les, when I came back, I could solve the problem better. But what I needed to do was say to the Lord, I need help. This is complex. It's a mess. How do I fix it? You have to see what happens when there are distractions and things that lead you off. When you're worried, you need to stop and say, whoa, I shouldn't be worried. What's the source of this worry? Where am I being distracted? What should I be doing? Where should I be focused? What is God calling me to do right now? It is very important for us, as it was for Martha. Martha knew the solution, though, didn't she? She didn't go to somebody else. She went to Jesus. And Jesus got her focus back on track. Just focus on me, Mary. And things will go forward and work out. I have a solution for the problem. We do not know whether Jesus said to Mary, it would be a good idea, Mary, if you went and helped Martha right now. We don't know what Jesus said to fix the problem. That's the thing about Scripture. You'd wish the stories were longer. I have to tell you, if the stories were longer, our Bibles would be huge. He doesn't give us a lot of details. But he does tell us in his word that if he's called you to do it, he's going to equip you. If he's called you to do it, he's in control. He's in control of everything. And if he's called you to do it, he has a solution for those roadblocks or whatever is facing you. And so this morning, the answer to Martha's problem was that she was distracted from her focus, which was should have been on Christ and not on what was going on. We need to keep our focus on God and let the doubts and the worries and the grumbling and complaining and whatever other distractions are in your world, we need to let them go. We need to say, these are not important. God is in control. And one of the ways we do that is we memorize Scripture. When I'm up here, I am, except for Romans 28, which I did quote, I tend to read Scripture because I lose my thought when I'm up here talking. But most of these memory, in fact, I would think almost all of these memory verses, I already have memorized. I know them. I didn't have to use my concordance to find them because I have memorized them. And I would urge you to do that as well. Memorize God's word so that when you're worried, you can quote Philippians. Harry's nodding his head. Harry's favorite passage, I think, in Scripture. Do not be anxious about anything. So don't worry. And if you think that's the only time Christ said that, well, you can go back to the Sermon on the Mount and he talks about worry. He says, don't worry. You cannot yourself change anything. So why are you worrying? So there are lots of passages that talk about that. We need to not doubt. We need to keep our focus on God and not doubt. And the way we're going to be able to do that is to memorize some Scripture verses that talk about not doubting. Christ says in Matthew 21:21, truly I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but you can also say to these mountains, go throw yourself into the sea and it will be done. Memorize the verse. Then when you have doubts, you have a verse to counteract it. If you find yourself grumbling, go to Philippians 2:14. Do everything without grumbling or complaining, so that you may become blameless, pure children of God, without fault in a warped and crooked generation. That's what's going to set us apart, is that we are not grumblers or complainers. So what I would encourage you this morning, if you want to keep your focus on God and to be able to keep it there, you need to have memorized scripture. And I'm going to finish this morning with a passage from Jude. The book of Jude has, the first part of the book of Jude is about not being distracted by false teaching. And I didn't talk about that this morning as one of the distractions, but it certainly is a major distraction dealt with in scripture. He spends the first 23 verses talking about false teachers and how they can distract us from God and getting our focus away from what God has called us and our focus away from the truth of Scripture. But he ends with this wonderful passage, and it says, "To him," so Christ, "who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Christ Jesus our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore." Let's not get distracted. Amen.